Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry. Sherry, are you there?
Good evening, Michael.
Oh, I can hear you.
What kind of a miracle is this?
Well, this is called a miracle of modern technology.
It's just astounding, isn't it? I mean, only moments ago, we were in reverberation land.
Yes.
And now, as far as we know, nothing has changed. Oh, I think there are spiritual lessons to be learned from this. Nothing has changed, yet everything is different.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Now, we missed the good news.
We missed the good news.
Very sad. I suppose, in theory, if Jen were still around, she could still give us the good news. She'd have to get back in the queue and make it happen, but that would be kind of lovely, actually, if she's still available, huh?
Yes, it would be.
Yeah, because I bet it's going to be quiet tonight, since probably everybody figures we had the same thing going as last week, and they all went off to do something else.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, indeed.
So anybody who still hung in there definitely needs to start dialing their phone.
Yes, and in fact, we have two on the line already.
Oh, very good.
So that's good, and I noticed that we have a number of listeners here, so that is great also.
Oh, perfect.
And we'll be a little short of the music tonight, and I think that's okay.
I think that's okay, especially if the music might be the cause of the reverberation.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Good.
You know, the metaphor for me is simply looking more subtly as I practice more.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Can you say more about that?
Well, I think in practice there sometimes seems to be an awareness or an insight, and then sometimes conditioning will grab that and say, oh, yeah, I understand that.
Uh-huh.
Which is sort of a cue to stop paying attention and move on.
Yes, yes. Or, as I think you're indicating, as soon as you catch on to that, you realize it is a signal to put on the brake, stop right where you are, and start paying really close attention.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, more exploration.
Yeah, I just love that, though, that, you know, it's so easy for us to get into assuming that because, you know, the echo was going on, and so therefore, you know, okay, well, we just have to give up, and then we call back a few minutes later, and it's all working perfectly.
Yes. Sounds like you're right next door.
Right. All right. So shall
Great.
We see who's joining us?
Yes. Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
This is Berns from Sweden.
Oh, dear.
Hello, Michael.
Hi.
Hello, Sherry.
Hello.
Hello. Do you hear me?
Well, I'm afraid you got the echo.
Have I got the echo?
Are you on a speakerphone?
Yes.
Great. Is there a way you could get off?
I've got a headset.
Great. Can you take the headset off and just talk directly into the phone? Sometimes that's a big help.
Well, I've got it. Okay, let me see. Is this better?
A little bit better.
A little bit, not very much, but we can try it.
Is it better?
It's a little bit better. You still have, for me, I don't know what it's like for Michael, but for me, there's still quite a bit of fuzziness. But let's try it. If I have to ask you what you said, then you'll just be patient, I hope.
Okay, because I hear you very well.
Yes. However, that doesn't change anything for me.
Maybe you want me to call back later, next time or something.
Well, let's just go with it and see how we do.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
What's going on besides telephone opportunities?
Well, I'm calling back to report, really.
Oh, good.
I don't know if you remember, that I had lots of problems with tensions that I had when I meditated.
Okay.
And I telephoned.
Uh-huh.
I had lots of tensions and very difficult sensations. And I telephoned you. It was, I don't know, the first time was 1.5 years ago or something.
Uh-huh.
And you encouraged me. You encouraged me to continue.
Okay. And so what have you seen in the interim?
Yeah, well, what has happened is really that the tensions aren't completely gone. They're still there. But what has happened is that my practice becomes so spacious that I can do other things besides fighting these tensions.
Oh, now isn't that lovely?
Yeah, I think so. Because they're not so important anymore. I used to think that my practice can only begin when these tensions are over.
Right, which means, of course, that conditioning would be very motivated to be certain that the tension never left.
Right.
Yeah.
And I've been struggling with these tensions, and as the struggle has got less and less, I've seen more and more judging and suffering, and strangely enough, seeing the suffering, I suffer less. It's strange.
Yes. Well, yes, it's strange in that we are deeply conditioned to believe what isn't so. So people grow up with the belief that if they look at what's painful for them, it will be so painful that they won't be able to stand it.
Right.
And so they live in intense suffering because they're so afraid of this pain. And then they start doing practice and they start looking at the pain, and they realize that looking directly at it, being with it as it actually is, it's not overwhelming, it's not horrible, it's not intolerable. And because they're with the pain in an accepting frame of mind and heart, they're not suffering.
Right.
So the whole setup is really a con job, it's a lie. Perpetuated by conditioning to keep us in that suffering place.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
So what has happened is that practice has become more fun.
Yes.
I do much more things, like looking at projections and all sorts of other things that you recommend. I'm doing it. Much, much less suffering, really. I feel so much better about my practice.
Oh, yes, because as I'm sure you've heard me say any number of times, if it's not enjoyable, if you're not having a good time, if you're not feeling appreciative and grateful for yourself, for your life, for all of the opportunities and possibilities that come with being human, it's not awareness practice. Right?
Right, but it's true, but you have to learn that. I mean,
yes, because conditioning is working overtime to get us to believe that awareness practice is hard and strict and rigid and unpleasant.
Right.
Because that
is,
now you mentioned projection. That's a classic projection, right?
Conditioning
is projecting how it is onto awareness practice.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, anyway, I I'd like to express my gratitude because I've got so much help. I think the first time when I telephoned you 1.5 years ago, it was really a turning point in my practice. The encouragement I got and afterwards all the programs and books and everything, it's been really fantastic. I just
so
like
glad.
To express my gratitude to you and to Michael and the whole Sangha and everybody, really.
Yeah, all of us who are doing this, all of us who, so yourself, right, included in the all of us who are making this effort to transform our lives so that we can be a part of ending suffering. It's a
right.
It's a glorious thing that we're all sharing together.
Right.
Yeah. Good.
Just to say that tonight was the first time I telephoned or I've done something like this without any preparation. I didn't know what I was going to talk about.
Uh-huh.
And that has been, it's been very difficult conditioning. It's really being hard at kind of being getting at me. But
yeah.
I have to prepare myself, and I have to know what I'm going to say, and I have to write down everything, and I didn't do it.
Good for you.
That feels good. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely, because, again, conditioning wants you to live in the world of conditioning, in the
right.
present, in the moment. We don't have to know what we're going to say. I don't know if people get tired of hearing me quote the same things. I never get tired of it because it's always brand new. You know, you bring this up, and what I think of is, you know, Jesus is sending out the apostles, and they're afraid. It's a terrible time. They're in danger, and they turn to conditioning, of course. You know, well, what if we get caught? What if something happens to us? What if, and he says, don't worry about that. When the time comes, what you need will be given to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So here we are in the present. You call, yes. and what you want to say will appear for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's perfect.
Exactly.
Yep.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you very much, Eddie.
Thank you. Now, you don't
thank
have
you
to wait
friend.
So long.
No.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I have some good news.
Yay!
In that the good news team has rejoined us.
Oh, perfect.
Yes. Would you like to hear some good news now?
I would. I am always so available for good news.
Okay, that's great. And then we will.
Is that where I come in, Michael?
Follow-up.
That's where you come in, Jen.
Yes. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you. So my job, I think, is to report on the incredibly good news that came out of our 7th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I thought the most fun place to start would be with the weather, don't you think?
Yes, please.
So the forecast was for rain, and I confess that I had gotten to the place in myself of, okay, well, this will be an adventure. We'll have our first bridge walk and pouring rain. That's good. That'll be an opportunity.
Yeah.
Instead, we had a beautiful, I think probably the best weather we've ever had at the bridge walk.
I thought it was great.
However, or not in addition to, I should say, we did have a bridge walk in the pouring rain up in Vancouver, Canada.
Oh, my goodness.
Super fun. We just got a photograph today of a woman who was inspired to invite her whole extended family to walk with her up in Vancouver, and they walked 10 kilometers in pouring down rain.
Oh, my goodness. Can you say willingness?
Exactly. it was so cute. They had we had FedExed them Bridgewalk t-shirts. So they all have the Bridgewalk t-shirts on, and they're just soaked to the bone, but they look like they're having a fabulous time.
Wow.
Wow, that's exciting. Jen, you know what?
Yeah.
When you're supporting the bridge walk and the kids in Africa, the weather really doesn't matter.
It's so true. You know, one of the things for me that's really fun is that over the years, all these traditions build. You know, more and more people come to the walk. More and more people are around the country doing their own little fundraisers, contributing to it. You know, there are families who are now kind of stalwarts of the bridge walk. And I was so cute when we went to do the raffle, which is one of the things we always do at the bridge walk, the kids are now trained that they're the raffle pickers. So they, before I even say anything, when I get up to the mic with that raffle basket, they come running up. They know it's their turn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very
it's
fun.
Exciting. It's exciting.
So, of course, one of the big pieces of news is that our goal was to raise $200,000, and we have so far raised $168,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
So that's very exciting. And
it's not over yet.
Exactly. Yeah. In fact, as you can imagine, we were quite busy this last week with peace storming and leading up to the Bridgewalk, so we didn't get to email as quickly as we like to. And so beginning to catch up on email, we're seeing all kinds of emails of people who did this and did that, and they're sending this in and they're sending that in. So I feel confident that with the assistance of everyone listening and the rest of the Sangha, that we'll be able to come together and make that 30,000, 30+ thousand and exceed our goal.
That's very exciting.
Yep.
So how many portions of Enshima is $168,000?
Boy, that would be a statistic, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the most exciting things for me is that this time next year, Teresa, who's the coordinator of the projects in Zambia, will be here with us. She'll come to the 8th annual Bridgewalk.
Very exciting.
Yep.
Very exciting. Yep. And what's been fun for me over the years is to see, it feels like it just blossomed out of nothing almost.
Yep.
There was like feeding 50 kids and 100 kids and lots of plans for more stuff.
Yep.
And then they're realized.
Yep.
The building is here. The water is here.
Yep.
People have jobs. People have roofs. Hundreds of kids are getting food.
Yep. That's really my experience of it, too, that you know, we hold the intention. We hold the, you know, we're willing to facilitate. And then, as you say, it just keeps happening. And it's one of the reasons I'm excited for Teresa to be here with us, because she can help represent the side of they're the folks who are really doing it. You know, that's how it's growing. That's how it's all happening, is every day they show up and they feed those kids and they build the Nsaka and they build the building and they have the ideas for the next things and they, you know, it's just we're showing up on this side to do our part of it, and boy, are they showing up over there to do their part of it.
Wow. Just reminds me a lot of practice.
Yeah.
Just show up. The voices will say this. The voices will say that.
Yeah.
I just show up, do my part.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And
yes.
The magic happens.
Yeah, and that's the thing, that it's fun. You know, the whole thing is fun, and the Bridgewalk is a perfect representation of that. It's such a fun day. You know, it's not an event that we have to, you know, I mean, we certainly put a lot of energy into it, but what makes the event is not all the detailed planning, but the people showing up with their enthusiasm and their excitement and their willingness and, you know, just the fun of the day is what makes it, you know, so inspiring to participate in.
Well, and if I may,
yes.
One of the things that I was aware of, particularly this year, is how many kids there are.
Yeah.
How many kids in our Sangha?
Yes.
And as that happens, there we are in Cantalomba, and we're just surrounded by kids.
Yeah.
And of course, so much of what we're doing is for the kids.
Yeah.
Because their parents feel about them the way we feel about our kids, and everybody wants a better life for their children than, you know, than they had, and,
yep.
You know, those kind of shared values and goals and that sort of thing. And so it was so fun to be at the Bridgewalk and to look around, and there are just all these kids everywhere.
Yeah.
I, my gosh, it's the same here at the Bridgewalk in Cantalomba, that same, who are we doing this for? What are, you know, what is this transformation for? Well, we're transforming ourselves so that we can transform the world, so that these little people, as they grow up, will have more opportunities for a life of kindness and compassion than we had.
Yes. And, you know, Sherry, it's such a good point. How many stories have we seen come through of how these kids that you're talking about who come to the Bridgewalk, whose parents are really involved in the project, that their lives are changed through it. You know,
yeah.
We had that one little guy who his mom was talking to him about the kids in Cantalomba, and he got really, you know, he really wanted to help, and he gave that dollar bill. I think
mm-hmm.
he even put that out as an email. I think we scanned his little note that he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to give this to the kids in Africa, or the little girl who is painting rocks and she and her mom are going around and asking friends for donations, and she talks about I'm selling rocks for Africa. You know, just that sense of, like, you know, that's such a big deal for them to get to directly participate in helping.
Yeah, that's neat.
And
one other thing about that, then maybe we could let somebody else have a shot at this. But part of what we've been talking about around the ranch lately is the difficult times that we are in right now, and that an awful lot of people are facing here in our country. Of course, you know, we go over there, and it's easy to see the how many people are struggling, but we're not so used to seeing that much of it for many of us in the circles that we travel in here. But it is happening here, and to have that sense of purpose, of direction, and also the possibility and the fun that comes with the level of participation. So we can either focus on how bad things are, how hard things are, how much in life there is to be afraid of, and what is going to happen, and what if our economy does fail, and to get completely overwhelmed and depressed by that,
yeah.
Or we can do what we've all been doing in Cantalomba, which is looking at what the need is, looking what we can do, setting about doing it together,
yep.
And having a really good time doing it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm right with you. I we'll let the callers have their chance to call in, but what you just said has huge potential, and I know we'll be looking at that a lot through practice in the next, you know, months, years, who knows. I think it's just amazing what the applications of the Africa work and the crossover with practice are, just, you know,
it's huge.
Exciting, huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, y'all. Well, thanks for having me on.
Well,
thanks for coming back.
All right. See you later.
Talk to you later.
Bye. Bye.
That was a lot of fun, Sherry.
Yeah.
And we have two more callers here.
Good.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jen from New York.
Hey, Jen.
Hi. Can you hear me okay? I'm on a headset.
Yeah. No, you're coming through just fine.
Okay, great. Well, I just wanted to start by saying thank you so much for doing the show. Technical difficulties or not, it's just so appreciated.
Well, it's kind of fun for us because, as Michael says, you know, well, this is just a lot like practice.
Right.
You know, with the ideal comes the actual. So it should work. It usually works. It often works, and it's not working. So what do we do now?
Yeah, perfect. Another mini workshop.
Yes, exactly.
So I wanted to ask some questions, I guess, about a piece of conditioning that has me sort of stuck a little bit. And I think I'm seeing it's happening in a couple of places in my life, but the main place is around a relationship that I recently got out of. And the story is something like that I have this idea of what I'd like in a partnership, in a relationship, and but that it's too much to ask for. And there's this whole story about I can't make the idea of asking for what I'd like mesh with the idea of accepting things as they are.
Uh-huh.
So,
yes, those do seem very much in conflict, don't they?
Yeah.
And so you know what you'd like to have.
Yeah.
And if you put that out, then it would seem, or conditioning would be happy to jump in and tell you that you're not accepting things as they are.
Right.
And the good spiritual student, the right person, does accept things as they are.
Right.
We have so many brilliant examples of how wrong conditioning is, especially in this regard. So if we just start through a few of the usual suspects, is that how it is?
Okay, yeah.
So we could start with the Buddha,
who
could have said, well, you know, this is just how life is. So what we need to do is accept it. So I'm just going to sit under this Bo tree and watch the world go by. And actually, apparently, I don't know this, but he did question that. After he had his big awakening, it occurred to him to wonder if he should try to teach this to anybody, because it was so outrageous and so counter to what people were doing. Would anybody understand it? Would anybody be interested? Would they care? What, you know? And finally he said to himself some form of, well, it's worth a try. And of course, I'm deeply grateful today. You're deeply, deeply grateful today that he made that decision.
Yeah, it caught on.
Huh?
It caught on.
It caught on.
Yeah.
Then, you know, we could go with Jesus. We could go with Gandhi. We could go with Martin Luther King Jr. We could go with Mother Teresa. You know, there's just a whole bunch of people. I mean, we could be here all night coming up with examples of people who accepted what is. Okay?
Yeah.
This is what we've got. This is how it is. How would we like it to be? And what do I need to do to bring about that difference? You with me?
Yeah.
So I know that this is what I want in a partner, and I accept what I've got right now. I accept what we've got right now, and I'm going to keep working to see if I can bring about the change that I want in this relationship, which puts us in a really great place spiritually, and one that conditioning doesn't actually like us to discover. And that is that I'm required to be that person that I want my partner to be.
Well, conditioning likes that because then it says if I were just that person, I wouldn't need to ask for it from anybody else.
That's right. However, the end run around conditioning is that you're going to set about being that. You with me?
I'm not sure, no.
Well, it's a process.
Yeah.
And so what will happen in that process is that your life will be transformed. Whatever happens with a partner happens.
Yeah.
Okay, so we may have some sort of effect on another person, but we don't know that.
Right.
But it doesn't matter because the transformation is what we get out of it. And so conditioning would like to sit here right now, point the finger at you, tell you what you're doing wrong, point out that if you were a different person, then this wouldn't matter to you. Or if you were a different person, then you wouldn't have these needs, okay? If you were the right person, you would just transcend the whole thing.
Right.
Okay? But that's a very different conversation to be in than, okay, I can see the potential for this, and so that's where I'm headed. So what is it that you want from a partner?
You're asking me right now?
Mm-hmm.
My short list is something like...
yeah, let's do the short list. This is an hour show.
Well, I've only made a short one. I am bothered with the long one. Someone who's loving, kind, present, committed to the relationship, and affectionate.
So
that's been my little mantra for the last couple weeks.
Yeah, so those are all things that you can be.
Yes. And that's actually how I sort of made the list is, those are the sort of, that's the focus that I'm trying to bring
okay.
to my own life.
Now, here's the deal. When you are being that, all of those things go together nicely, don't they?
Yeah.
So when you're being that, that's how you feel.
Yeah.
Then conditioning comes in and says, yes, but your partner isn't being that way.
Yeah, and actually I ended the relationship about 3 weeks ago, and conditioning's been really brutal. It's been, it's actually been helpful. I've really seen some things very clearly because I felt pretty clear that in making that choice.
Yes.
I felt like making that choice is bringing me closer to that place in myself and hopefully with a partner. So
yes. Now let me ask you this. Is conditioning beating you up for having left the relationship?
Oh, definitely.
But it's the same conditioning, the same voices
yep.
that talked you into leaving.
Absolutely. Yep. Oh, yeah. I see it.
Yeah.
I totally see it.
Yeah.
That can't win. Yeah.
That is a priceless workshop.
Oh,
right
yeah.
there, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that's over. Okay.
Yeah.
That's done. You don't need to go back and get started with that again. And there will be another relationship.
Yeah.
And you will watch how this happens, how when you're in that place where you're living that short list of qualities and characteristics, you actually can't tell whether the other person is being that way or not.
Oh. Hmm.
Because your whole life is filled with that. So if I am in a completely loving place, I'm going to project that everything you're doing is out of love.
But that still doesn't mean they might not be the person I choose to spend my life with or spend time with.
Well, oh, sure. But, I
yeah.
mean, I'm suggesting that you're going to find somebody who qualifies.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then you're going to watch how when you are in that loving place, you are experiencing love. You feel loving and you feel loved. And then conditioning comes in.
Yeah.
Well, where did that come from? Well, what's going on with that? Well, that doesn't seem very loving. And if you are paying close attention, which you will be this time, especially after what you've just been through, then you will begin to see that the real difficulty in the relationship is the voice inside your head.
So how does it work? One of the things that I felt like happened in the relationship was the dynamic that was going on between our egos or between us was putting me in sort of a prime reactionary place for some of my biggest stories around men. So I was constantly in this place, you know, that was ripe for conditioning and all these old stories. And so I was in a much better place to sort of see all that happening this time. But it still felt like it wasn't a smart place to stay.
I don't have anything about until death do us part.
Yeah.
I don't have any. I mean, it's great if that's what people want to do. I don't think people should or shouldn't. I just don't have anything about that.
Yeah.
So nothing that I say should be interpreted as
right.
So that means I should just stay no matter what.
Right.
No. However, if I have big stories, so you know, men can just never be committed. They just can't be committed. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
Okay? Can I be all right with that? In other words, what conditioning wants me to do is hold a belief. So men cannot commit. Now, I have to search the world over in a state of misery looking for the one man who can.
But they're all already committed.
That's right. Yeah. I was just going to say, in line behind the 2.5 billion women or whatever it is who are also looking for that one guy. So do you see what I'm saying as a principle?
Yeah.
So if that's really, if I really want to cling to that belief, then why be miserable over it?
Yeah.
So one of the things, I love Italy. One of the things that I struggle with about Italy is you can only get Italian food. Okay? I love Italian food, but after a while, enough is enough. Okay? So that is kind of an odd connection there, isn't it?
I'm waiting for the link here.
Well, the thing is, if I want to be in Italy, then I need to adjust to the fact that what I'm going to eat there is Italian food. If I want a variety of food, then I need to go to San Francisco, New York, somewhere else where I can get the variety. But to go to Italy and then be miserable that there's only Italian food is just a commitment to suffering. So if I want to hold the belief that men are X, can I be all right with that rather than needing to be miserable about it? Either let go of the belief.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, or just live in that world.
Or live in that world.
Without any anxiety about it, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
if that's how it is. You know, if you know that teenagers tend to go through a period of hating their parents, okay, here we are. We've just arrived.
Yeah.
Why think that I'm going to be the exception? My children are going to be the exception. It's going to be different for us. There's something wrong with it. I already knew that. I already knew it.
Yeah, so if it's not a problem, then things go much more smoothly.
That's exactly right. Then nobody has to be miserable.
And nobody's wrong.
And nobody's wrong.
Yeah, there's a big right-wrong story
going on for me right now.
Yes.
Of course.
Depending
because
on the moment.
There can't be enough suffering unless
you
get into that. Yeah. That's the only way we can really suffer is if what is wrong.
Well, and even better if I'm wrong about it.
Well, of course you're wrong for being in the situation where, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so that, you know, what I'm suggesting, I'm not saying this is an easy thing to do. I'm not saying it's popular or it's ever going to be popular, but it is possible. And those same kind of spiritual heroes, at least of mine, that I mentioned earlier, that's one of the big things that they have in common. I can either stay in this conditioned reality, in these beliefs, and be miserable and suffer, or I can do the work that's necessary to go beyond it. That's what's possible for us. That's what's available to us.
So in order to do the work to move beyond it, you've got to accept what's there in the first place.
That's right. And the acceptance needs to be of you, not him.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Of you. Yeah. Of all the yous.
Of all the ones that were both skillful and not skillful in
this
whole situation.
That's right. The ones that want a relationship and then want a relationship to be a certain way. So I was kidding people at a workshop recently. This woman said, you know, I want a partner. I was asking people what they wanted. I want a partner. And, you know, that's one that's just designed to throw everybody into misery. You know, I want a partner and I can't find one. I said, I can find your partner. There's no problem at all. I can get you a partner. You want a partner? I'll get you a partner. Everybody goes, yeah, sure, right. I said, there's one right outside the door. Okay, he was sitting there when we all came in. He's the fellow with the cup. I can promise you he'll go home with you. And that's how we do it, right?
Yeah,
I want a partner. Well, no, not that person.
Yeah.
Well, no, I want some. And then we start getting into the real list, and then we're hoping a human being is going to show up that's going to meet that. And, of course, we assume that we're going to meet it because we made the list.
Right.
Yeah, it's very complex.
It is complex, and I don't feel like I meet my own list all the time. I sort of feel like it's like an intention. It's how I'm aspiring to live my life. So
that's right.
I don't expect perfection of
that's
myself.
Right. And so what you're looking for is somebody else with intention and aspiration rather than perfection.
Yeah, and that's been a sort of recent development for me. I called about 6 months ago and talked to you about issues around food that I was having and compulsive eating, and your insistent recommendation was to lower the expectations, take it down, and I've been doing that in a lot of areas of my life, and man, I'm so much lighter, in literally and just in so many other ways. It's just such a more pleasurable way to go through the world, you know.
And so right before we go, just this thought to take with you, that it truly is much more fulfilling to be the person that you want to find than to try to make somebody else be that person. Okay?
Feel that, yep.
Yeah. All right. Well,
thank
let
you
us
so
know.
Much. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Thank
Good
you,
night.
Michael. Good night.
Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I think I've heard that phrase before.
Yeah.
Be the person you want to find.
Be the person you want to find. And a little while ago, I was channeling Gandhi and, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. And, yeah, it's the secret.
You're suggesting it's up to me to make the difference.
I am.
Perhaps
and the
beyond
good news
suggesting.
Is, the good news is it's also up to me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sherry, I would insert some commercial musical break here, and we don't have one today.
So we get to talk to people.
And we have three more callers.
Right.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Good evening, this is Beth.
Hey, Beth.
Hi, Sherry.
What's
going
on?
2 weeks ago we spoke, and we got disconnected mid-conversation.
Uh-huh.
And last week there was a universe interruption.
That's right. We had the giant reverberation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we were having a discussion about my mother.
Correct. I remember that.
Yes.
This did you
go ongoing
to your mother?
Years. I did. I did.
Ah.
And what you said was very useful.
Oh, good. What happened?
Yes. Well, story.
You know, just the...
Yes, but it's also what you were just talking about. It's like I can stay in the story. And that's my experience. And suffering is what happens. I had a reflective listening buddy call that helped me really see something I learned in the Nothing Wrong With You workshop about how I am karmically, this, you know, the resentment is just the karmic result of my mother line. You know, it's just like within my conditioning, this resentment that I hold is my only option.
Uh-huh.
It's the result of the karma. And you were just talking about doing the work required to get out of the story.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And just seeing, you know, just that this resentment is, as long as I'm in conditioning, I have no choice. That's what's going to happen.
That is so beautifully stated. Yeah, it's like being a character in a movie. You know,
okay.
It's been filmed. It's not like you're going to be up there and then one day you're going to say, oh, my gosh, I can see a whole new possibility here.
Right. All of a sudden I'm living in Sydney, Australia. You know, it's,
yes.
It's, yeah. Yeah.
And
it's just like seeing that it's like all of a sudden there's compassion available for that conditioned part.
Yes.
And then this is the part, this is where the question is. Today I have been through hell.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I had thought I had been through hell before.
But this is a fresh new hell.
Oh, yes. If I had a gun, I would not be making this call. You know, it's
wow.
Yeah, I mean, just there's the edge. What are you going to do?
And so the hell is... karmic retaliation? Is it conditioning?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Trying to kill you?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
And so it's the hell.
But here's my...
mental, emotional?
Yes. Deeply emotional. Deeply emotional. But not crying and weeping and... Although I have in the last couple of... It's been about a week since I went to see my mother.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so this, it just continues to play out?
As long as I stay in the story, that's the story.
I see. Okay. So you're in the hell of the story.
Or the hell of the not story. Who am I if I'm not in the story?
Oh, now this is very good, isn't it?
No.
This is good. So you could conceivably be living in Australia.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so what you're telling me is karma really kicks up a storm when you don't feed it.
Okay.
Does that feel like what's going on?
Well, there have been some physical nausea kind of experiences in the last couple of days.
So you're taking its drug away, and it's going into detox.
But it's got like 20 others in the bag.
Uh-huh. But it sounds like this is a big one.
Yeah. This is a big one. This is the one. I mean, it's like my whole experience with the monastery last year was based in this. The abandonment, it was the same feelings. It was the same sensation just in a very short period.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, we will talk about this as burning away karma. And that's why the detox, image is good. Because the best thing a person can do is just grab their meditation cushion, fasten down the seatbelt, lock themselves in a room somewhere, and don't come out until they're sane.
Which is what the Buddha did.
Pretty much.
It's what
yeah.
Christ did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Out into the desert.
Yeah.
40 days.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we can say, oh, well, you know, I don't really think I'm up for that. But the fact that you made that connection proves that not only are you up for that, but you know what it is that you're experiencing.
Yes, but I'm not going to survive it.
Hmm. Well, I would say karma is deeply hopeful in that case, but I wouldn't bet. I wouldn't put money on it.
And I'm listening to the radio show tonight was, I've been deeply underwater for the last week, deeply underwater. And hearing the last conversation, I missed the first bit, just kind of reminded me that I'm here to practice.
Yeah.
And it's like what you were talking about, doing the work that's required to live outside the conditioned pattern is the meditation.
Yes.
Is the paying attention.
Yes.
It's what I've been practicing for.
That's right. I wish I knew who that old Greek guy was who just said that. It was a peace quote in the last little while. I'm going to have to get the peace folks to find it for me. But it's the, this is what I've been training for. This is what I've been practicing for. And that's it. We train and practice because it's going to hit the fan.
Amen.
You know, karma is not
300-pound weight for happening.
Yeah,
yeah.
Karma is not just going to say, "Oh, okay, you don't want to play. All right."
Yeah, we'll do it on Saturday.
Yeah,
when it's convenient, we'll pencil it in.
Yes, yeah, it's going to fight for its life. It's going to take you down if it possibly can. So.
Oh my! Yes, in the chaos.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So I'm deeply grateful for the radio show.
Me too.
Thank you, Sherry.
Because we're far away, not as far as Australia. But
I was on the 40th Street Bridge on Sunday in Pittsburgh. It has over 4,000 bridges.
Uh-huh.
So on the bridge walk on Sunday, I went across the bridge.
Good for you.
In Pittsburgh.
Excellent.
Yes.
And you didn't jump, which is another gold star on your chart.
Well, I hadn't seen through it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was, yeah, a whole different level.
Yeah, well, don't do it between now and the next radio show, okay?
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
All right, you too. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, you've got about 5 minutes, and we have two more callers here.
Wow, okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there? Caller, are you there?
Sounds like we have 2 minutes and one caller.
Okay, let's try that. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Julianne from Maryland.
Hey, Julianne.
Hello, how are you?
Good, and you?
Good.
What's going on?
Well, I just froze up because I wasn't expecting to be on so suddenly.
As you thought it was going to be the person before you, and then we would say, okay, well, whoever
right.
you are, would you call back next week?
Exactly, right.
Good. So it's one of those in the moment,
yeah.
let's see what life wants to talk about
right.
situations.
Yeah, but something has come up already. So.
Oh, good.
I always thank you so much for everything that you do. I'm so grateful. But the question, I guess just some guidance. I have a friend who is going through a really tough divorce, and I'm going to visit her this weekend. She has three children, and her husband just recently revealed that he's been having an affair. And so I've been doing my best to be there for her and listen, and even have attempted to reflective listen, and I'm finding that I'm very unskilled at it, but I just fall into my old patterns of wanting to be, you know, giving advice and saying the right thing. Or if I do just kind of listen, there's this silence, which I project that she's wondering why I'm not saying something. And I realized, so I just wondered if you
might I have
give me some tips. Yes.
I do. That's just shocking, but I do.
Okay.
Okay. Here's what I would suggest, that you tell her this.
Okay, yeah.
Tell her that you're stuck in this place because you know giving her advice is not the point.
Mm-hmm.
And what you really want is to be there for her and to listen to her and to support her, and you have these skills that you're going to practice to try to get better at so that
okay.
you can be more present to her and listen. And so what you're going to do is just reflect her when she speaks and, you know, warn her that you're not an expert, so it's not going to be seamless, but it comes from the heart, and it comes from your love for her and your desire to be the best friend that you can be.
Okay.
And I'll bet she'll be fine with that. And you practicing reflecting her will take care of a lot of that. I just want to jump in and tell people what to do.
Right.
Because you're going to be concentrating on reflecting and really listening to her and hearing her so that you can reflect back and like that.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be my best encouragement.
Okay. Okay. I'll give that a shot.
Yeah, and let us know how it goes, okay?
I will. Yes, I know that's important to do, so I will.
Yeah, it really is. It's important. It's important for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's important as a support for you. It's important for as an encouragement for all of us because,
mm-hmm.
you know, we all know that place. Every one of us, especially the more we love somebody and the harder their situation is, the more we just want to jump in and do our best to take care of them, which is often not what's needed.
Right.
So, we'll look forward to your report.
Yeah. Oh, good. Well, it's interesting because I've been finding myself in this situation in all of my relationships, and it's a great place to practice.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. It's the to be present to one another in that kind of way, to be supportive in that way, is just the kindest thing I think we can do for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And for ourselves in the process.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm glad
okay.
you made it on.
Thank you so much.
Thank
I'm
you.
Glad, too.
All right, good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Julianne. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Michael, I feel so heroic, don't you?
I do. I feel like it's a particular miracle tonight that we
yeah.
made it to 6 o'clock and we're still talking.
I know. We've just made it past these huge odds, and even we're able to have Jen with us giving us good news, and it all worked, and it's just amazing.
It is amazing.
So thank you.
And I have some homework for myself before next week's show.
Yes. Find out how to get out of Echo Land.
Yes, that's my assignment. And I will report back.
Oh, good. Very good. Thanks, Michael.
Sure. Good night.
Good night.